Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprising you with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. Behold the UFC today, guys, because we have a very special surprise for you all today. We're making history with the first ever three-guest episode in the podcast history. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to welcome the returning Jaden Watson, the returning Cole Wachter, and a newbie to the podcast, Mr. Ryan Neinhardt. Gentlemen, welcome to the pod.
Thanks for having us, Ruger. It's always a great time coming on.
Love support.
Thank you for the chance to have a debut. I'm very excited. This is my first podcast ever. So,
boys. And Ryan, I know you were mentioning me. You wanted to come on. You wanted to talk about NHL. So I figured, why don't all three of you just give the viewers a bit of background about yourselves, something they can know, something that lets them know that, hey, I'm knowledgeable about the NHL and I'm interesting to talk about on the pod.
My name's Jaden Watson. I am a Wild fan of 22 years now. And basically I'm a homer, so expect some homer takes out of me.
Homer takes.
Homer takes, I like that. Okay. I'm Ryan. I've also been a Wild fan for, I guess, 21 years. Your birthday's a little closer, so yeah. You get the pass on that. I've been paying attention to the NHL for about 5 years now. Huge fan of the NHL. Love studying it. Love learning everything about it. Love learning the evolution of the game. So I feel like I'm very knowledgeable in that aspect.
Yeah, so pretty much the same thing. I've been a Wild fan my whole entire life, 21 years. But not just that, just an overall hockey fan. Just love the game overall. And just every single morning before school, I'd wake up, turn on NHL Network, and just watch highlights every single morning. So been watching the game for a long time. I feel like I know a decent amount about it.
Absolutely feel the same. That's how I am with UFC. Now, I want you all to give the viewers a bit about yourselves personally, maybe not about NHL. What is something exciting that people would like to know about you? Cole, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so I'm currently a senior at Minnesota State University Mankato, same school that Ruger goes to.
Of course.
The host here. So I'm a sports management major. I just finished up an internship in Michigan doing ticket sales for a baseball team.
Very cool.
And I'm kind of just looking to move forward into hopefully like the big leagues or NHL, NFL. Just kind of work my way up.
Yeah, love that. Ryan.
Yeah, so I'm technically like a junior and a half. I kind of didn't take as many classes as I should have my freshman year, but everyone is on their own path. But I'm also in the sports management program and planning on getting my first internship here soon, my foot in the door, get started with it, get some connections, and then building off of that and evolving my knowledge and skills within the sports management industry and making it big one day.
Absolutely. That's the dream, Ryan.
Yep. Future GM of the Minnesota Wild.
Yep.
There we go.
Speaking to existence.
And my name is Jaden Watson. I am a construction management major here at Mankato, so hopefully I'm project managing somewhere in the near future. And yeah, I'm just excited to be on the pod. You know me, I've been on before.
Yeah, his reputation precedes him. I can't remember, did you guys predict the Stanley Cup champions correctly last time I had you on?
I believe I had a cup rematch, Vegas, Florida, and I had Florida winning, so I at least called the champ.
I believe I had Edmonton going, but Carolina's,
I don't know what's going on with them, but that's a different topic.
Yeah, we'll be getting to a lot of NHL on today's episode, but a fun question, something to start off, get everyone's energy high, is I ask this to everyone. You know, I've heard instead of like, how's your day going? Like, what's up with you? What has been the most exciting thing that's happened to you guys this week? We're recording this October 2nd on a Wednesday. What's been the most exciting thing so far?
Most exciting thing for me was probably watching Monday Night Football, Seahawks-Lions game, and it came for one of my buddies. His fantasy matchup came down to Tyler Lockett, so watching those last 2 minutes where he had two missed targets was pretty exhilarating.
And he was 0.12 points behind.
And I love the Detroit Lions, so it was a fun game to watch.
It was between 2-0 and 3 teams, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
No, Johnny was up.
Kind of a toilet bowl match.
For the fantasy football. Yeah.
Fantasy football.
Yeah, that was, I don't know how Garrett did not win that, but I'd be very sad if I was him.
Yeah. Very interesting.
I was I would also say the same thing. I had Kenneth Walker playing. He popped off. I think he had 33 points, maybe a little bit more than that. I also had Tyreek Hill, who didn't do anything, but Kenneth Walker picked up the slack.
Mm-hmm.
Along with Dave Montgomery. So,
some exciting, some exciting.
That's right. Definitely the last, in the last week, the most exciting thing was getting my VA benefit check on October 1st from the government.
Ooh.
So that put a little money. That put a little government money in the pocket. That felt nice. Gonna try to save that as much as possible, but that is kind of hard. Yeah, that was pretty nice getting that though, for sure.
Very much so. Love that. Most exciting thing for me was my birthday the other day, and we were all out for dinner, as we recall. And the one thing that stood out to me is our waiter was bringing over a beer, and I don't know if our friend bumped into him or something, but he spilt a full beer.
No, I right spilled half the beer, and I got to finish the rest free. So
there you go. That was my most exciting thing.
That was my second most exciting thing.
Well, slamming a beer that fell on the ground.
Yeah, second most exciting. Kind of exhilarating, but that game was good, so got to shut up.
That was a fun game. It was fun to watch. I love it. I love it. And something else I want to know is, you know, you are all hockey heads. Very big. It's all, you're always on the ice. You're always skating of some sort, whether virtually, whether in person. And I kind of want to know from each of you, where did your love for hockey first begin? Jaden, we'll start with you.
Well, I started skating probably when I was 3 years old, just skating on the pond in the backyard with my older brother, but he didn't actually play hockey, so I was the first one to start playing. So it's kind of just like my own interest got me into it. No one really pushed me to do it. It was kind of all me. I just kind of fell in love with the sport, mm-hmm. So been on it ever since.
Ever since then.
Yeah, same for me. I mean, my dad played hockey growing up, so he kind of influenced on that on me very early. Ever since I can remember, I was out on the lake skating. And then just eventually fell in love with it, like Jaden. And obviously growing up in Minnesota, hockey is top-notch here. So it's hard to go anywhere without thinking or talking or looking at something about hockey.
Yeah. State of hockey, so.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad also played hockey. He was a goalie. But he kind of got me into it. I remember one of my first memories that I have is skating on the outdoor rink by my house about a mile down the road. So that was just where my love started, and I've been.
Mm-hmm. As we shared earlier, your favorite team, all the Minnesota Wild. Is that just because you're from Minnesota? Is there any other reasoning behind that?
So the best team in the league, man. I mean, how can you not love the Minnesota Wild? Going to the X and the energy that's in there, it's hard not to fall in love with the team there. And obviously they're the home team, and who doesn't cheer for their home team? So
you gotta cheer for your hometown team.
Yeah, I completely agree. Minnesota fans are diehard, especially with like the Vikings too.
Yeah,
there's no bandwagon Minnesota Vikings fans.
Nothing. Actually, there's no sport. I don't
think you can bandwagon Minnesota sports teams. There's nothing really to bandwagon right now besides playoff exits.
Maybe so, now that we're 4-0, but
yeah, we'll see. About
soon
that.
To be 5-0. Stay tuned. We will be dropping our official Week 5 predictions later on today's episode. But you know, I have 3. NHL experts here on the... Is that okay to say experts? Are you guys experts?
Amateur experts.
Amateur experts. Amateur experts. In your NHL knowledge. All right. So there's just so much to cover, so many things to ask. One thing that I will first off ask you all this question is, what team do you think is going to be better than they were last season for the NHL?
I'm going to start off with the Utah Hockey Club. I mean, they have a lot of additions this offseason. Especially Mikhail Sergachev, who's a really good defenseman. He's been playing for the Lightning, won about 2 cups with them. So he's going to be a big addition for them. I think they add a couple more pieces as well. So I think Utah is going to make a big push for wild cards throughout this year. They may fight with the Wild, but we'll see.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the New Jersey Devils for sure. They... We're expected to do great things last year, but we're struck with major injuries, including Jack Hughes, Dougie Hamilton. That's all I can think of off the top of my head, but those are 2 of their highest paid players, so you are definitely hurting if you're missing them. And let's hope that they're both healthy this year, because I am a fan of the Devils, and I would like to see Jack Hughes succeed, and his brother Luke Hughes.
Brothers on the same team?
Brothers on the same team. Very cool. Both drafted. Jack Hughes was drafted number one. Luke was number four, I think, overall. So, yeah, I'm expecting very big things from them if they can stay healthy.
And I'm going to go – I was going to go in the Metro division and maybe pick the Flyers, but Ryan already went Metro, so I figure I'm going to go back to the Central with the Nashville Predators. I like the addition of Steven Stamkos and Johnny Marchessault. They have great defense led by Roman Josi and a great goalie, Juuse Saro. So I think that team is going to be pretty nasty this year.
Yeah, they have 1 year to win it.
Yeah, I think their window is very small, but I think that they have a really good chance.
All of their offseason additions, I think, were at least 34 years old, I think.
Oh, old so team.
They really have to push for it.
Yeah, they're going cup now.
Now, I don't see too much NHL content, you know, and that's just because of my personal preference. What I did see was the NHL draft, and correct me if I'm wrong, but were the fans booing the Utah hockey team's like owners or something? Is there a reason they don't like them?
I think there's multiple reasons behind that. One, because they drafted Tidge Aginla, whose son is Jerome Aginla, who was a longtime NHL veteran. Is he in the Hall of Fame, Jerome?
I think he might.
He's not hated.
But he's an all-star.
He will be a great
player. Yeah, he will be in the Hall of Fame at one point, but the Utah Hockey Club drafted Tidge Aginla, his son, the pick before Calgary Flames, the team that he played on for like 10, 12 years.
Oh.
So the fans wanted to see his son go to the same team. But if I'm the Utah Hockey Club GM/owner, I'm doing the same thing because you want to take the best player.
Yeah, so it would have been like if Bronny James was the number one player in the draft and the Lakers had the number two pick?
Exactly. Okay. Or like Quinn Ewers whenever he declares for the draft. Maybe, or not Quinn Ewers, sorry.
Oh, Shador Sanders?
No, I got the Texas boys mixed up.
Ooh, yes, Arch Manning.
It's like Arch Manning if he somehow doesn't get drafted to the Colts or Broncos.
Or Giants even, or Giants. Since he's a nephew,
Giants,
right?
Yeah, with Eli. Yeah. Which one's his dad, Peyton?
Neither, it's the third, it's isn't
the
third.
It? Third one?
Cooper. I think it was Cooper.
He was supposed to be the best brother out of all of them, but he had to get like some terrible neck injury surgery.
Oh, that's what they all say when they don't make it big.
Yeah. He was supposedly the most athletic one, which transferred over to Arch.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So we got some teams that didn't do well last year, going to do better this year. But what about the vice versa? Who was a heavy hitter last season in the NHL that is going to take a dive off? Ryan, I want to start with you for this one.
They wouldn't necessarily be considered heavy hitters. They're like averaging the second or third spot in the Pacific Division. First is always Edmonton just because they're so good.
Okay.
But I'm going with the LA Kings. I think they had a lot of notable roster departures and an injury to Drew Doughty, he's supposed to be out for at least, I think, 4 or 5 months. And he's their Hall of Famer. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame when he retires. So I think they're going to take a very big step back.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. And I'm going to go with out east, the Carolina Hurricanes. I think they lost a good number of players. And I know I'm not completely sold on their goaltending, and that's just my dark horse pick. I don't have access to the internet, so I can't check stats or nothing, so my takes are going to be a little wild today, but this is just all off the dome, and I'm going with Carolina. I think there's even a chance they're a wild card team or miss the playoffs.
Wow. All right. Walker, what are you thinking?
I think I'm going to go with the Winnipeg Jets. I feel like they lost a little bit of chem this offseason. They lost a couple players. I just feel like there's something off over there. I know they have a couple problems with attendance and fans coming to the game, so I would just say, I don't know, I think they're going to have another struggling year.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And one thing I should have started with this is, I'm sure a lot of people listen to this, they're going to be MMA fans like myself, or even just, you know, similar people that I know, and a lot of people that I know that aren't you boys on here, they don't really watch the NHL. And with the season coming up, why do you think this season people should tune into the NHL? Why is this a must-see season?
Well, first of all, I'm going to say before the season begins, you should watch the docuseries coming out on Prime. Mm-hmm. I think that'll give you maybe a little behind-the-scenes look at the season and a little bit more about hockey in general and get you amped up for the season. And I'm also going to throw out a good team to watch for you, the New Jersey Devils, of course.
As mentioned.
Jack Hughes, yep, they were mentioned as a team that's going to improve. I think they're just going to be a high-flying offense, and it's exciting to watch. So a lot of goals, and there's nothing better to watch than a couple goals here and there.
Yeah, so as he was saying, the face-off inside the NHL is what it's called, face-off inside the NHL. It launches on October 4th. He can't tell you that because he doesn't have access to the internet like I do right now, unfortunately. But to give fans and outside that are on the outside looking in, to give them an idea why you should watch is because I think the balance of the league is the best that it's ever been right now. So there's going to be very close games night in and night out. And the scoring is up for sure right now. Last year, Austin Matthews had 69 goals. That was the first time.
One of the top players.
Yeah, one of the top players for sure. Top maybe five or six, depending who you ask.
Top three.
Or three. It could go either way. But the scoring in the league is at an all-time high right now. Nobody scored 69 goals before Austin Matthews since, like, 1990, I think.
Oh, wow.
When he did that last year, and that's only supposed to go up in the trend. Maybe not for his overall goals, but in the league total. So if you're not watching now, you definitely should, because it's crazy.
Yeah.
You're missing out.
Skills at an all-time high.
Yeah.
Yeah, going off what they said, I'd say just the speed and overall skill is way up. I mean, you have superstars like Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon. Those guys were some of the fastest, most skilled players to ever play the game. And you have young stars like Connor Bedard coming up as well. And there's a bunch of other young guys coming in the league, like Carter Gauthier, Will Smith, some other guys as well. I think, so just overall speed and skill.
Definitely, and I'm excited, honestly. You get me all amped, and I'm sure it'll be on all the time down here. And I wasn't going to do this. I really was going to resist, but you guys just got me all amped. So I'm going to go through all four divisions in the NHL, and I want you guys to give me your opinion on who's going to come out winning that division, and then we're going to break it down. And all three of you right here, this is before the first game's been played, are going to give me your official Stanley Cup winner. And actually, we'll do the two teams. Should we do two teams?
Yeah, full matchup.
Full matchup, alrighty. So we'll start out with the division that is not involving the Minnesota Wild, the team I'm most familiar with. That is the Atlantic Division in the Eastern Conference. You got the Bruins, the Sabres, the Red Wings, the Panthers, the Canadiens, Senators, Lightning, and the Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs have, who do they have?
Austin Matthews.
So I'm just going to throw it out there. This is an open table round discussion. What's going to go down in the Atlantic Division? What should the people know?
What's going to go down in the Atlantic Division is the Florida Panthers are going to beat up on everybody. The Bruins are going to be a hard team to play against, big back end. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to have the best offense in the division. And the Lightning are going to fall off a little bit. That's my quick takes.
I kind of disagree with that Lightning take. That's my opinion that I think the Lightning are going to do better than they did last year. I think they were the first wild card team with like 92 points in the Eastern Conference. They just had, I mean, as we said earlier, Mikhail Sergachev was a departure. He was huge in the
big piece
in the defense core. But they did and Stamkos. You cannot forget about Stamkos, longtime captain, left because he kind of had a little disagreement with the front office, but that's a different story.
Where's Stamkos at? I know him.
Nashville. That, yeah. He's
really.
That was one of their old signings that they have to like win now. With
interesting.
Them. So, but yeah, I disagree with that Tampa take. Boston is going to be a tough team this year. I think Matthew Poitras. He's a upcoming rookie. He played, I think, 10 games with the Boston Bruins last year in his rookie season, but he got injured, I think. So then he had to recover for the year, and then they just eventually sent him back to the junior league that he's in. So they're going to be a good team. Florida Panthers, like you said, is going to be a hard-hitting team. They're going to be tough this year. Obviously, just won the Cup. They're going to come out firing. Ottawa Senators, I don't know what's going on with them. They just had an injury to their star, Tim Stutzel. Tampa Bay Lightning, I think they'll be top three in the division here. Toronto Maple Leafs top three. Boston or Buffalo and Detroit. I don't know what's going on with them. So that's all I got for now at the Atlantic. That's the most skilled division in the league right now.
Atlantic division, the most skilled division.
Yeah, so I'm going to agree with Jane. I think I have Florida winning this division for sure. I think I'm going to say Toronto comes second. I think they're going to have another good regular season and die off in the playoffs like they usually do. They did add Albrecht and Larson as well as Chris Tanev to the team, but I don't know if that's going to be enough to shore up that back end.
He's pretty old, so.
Yeah. And then as terms of Lightning, I feel like they're going to be about the same team like they had with Stammer. Maybe a little worse, honestly, because of the Ken they're going to lose. And Sam was the captain for what, 10 years?
Long time.
Yeah.
He won a chip with them, no?
Three
cups. Oh, my goodness.
Three cups. And then, I mean, yeah, Jake Gensel's a really good player, but I think he just doesn't have that chemistry that Stamkos had. They're both the same player, I'd say.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I don't know. I think Stamkos is going on to his later years of his career and his back nine. But yeah. We'll see, though. We'll see. He could have a lot of points this year. I don't
still
know.
Last on
the
power play.
I think the Bruins are going to sneak into a wild card spot. They had Elias Lindholm. They did lose Jake DeBrusk.
Yeah, tough loss.
Which is a big loss for them. I think that.
Was he a good player in the league?
He was a good player. He went to Vancouver. We'll get into later. But they lost a little bit of depth, but I feel like they're still going to be a really good team. Red Wings are still going to be kind of a young, coming up team. I feel like they're going to be fighting for a wild card spot. They might get one. We'll see. Sabres, another young team. Canadiens, the Sabres, young team as well.
I just want to throw out there, I do not think that the Boston Bruins will be that as good as they would be if they don't figure out this Jeremy Swayman business real quick.
Yeah.
That throws a big wrench in there.
What's going on, this Jeremy guy, huh?
Quick summary. They've been running with two goalies for the past 2 years. Linus Ullmark, Jeremy Swayman.
Two all-star goalies.
Two all-stars. Ullmark actually won the Vezina for best goalie in the league. Not last year, but the year before. And then this year, it kind of switched to where Swayman was kind of the 1A and Ullmark might have been the 1B. And so Swayman was in a contract year. He's a restricted free agent, can only sign with Boston. And they decided to trade Linus Ullmark. So now the ball is essentially in Swayman's court. He can kind of, he's got all the leverage. He's the starting goalie now. So he's asking, I'm not going to throw out any numbers, but he's asking for a lot of money. And I guess ownership was offering him a lot less, and then there were some public comments that came out, and now there seems to be some fighting going on between Swayman
really?
And the Bruins front office.
Slap in the face of Swayman.
Yeah.
So we'll see if Swayman ends up requesting a trade, which I think he should, or if he ends up signing the big deal that they supposedly have for him.
Keep in mind, the Bruins just trade Ullmark, who is their other goalie. They had that tandem, Swayman-Ullmark. They just trade him to Sens. And so this deal should have been done right when they trade Ullmark. I feel like if you're going to trade one of those goalies, you have to get one.
You got
to
have the other deal.
So they trade him to a division rival.
Yep.
Interesting.
And they did not get a lot back.
Bruins
fans have been disappointed in the return.
I think Jeremy Swayman is trying to redo the goalie market, too. He's trying to make the goalies get paid more with this kind of deal-breaking contract. But we'll see what actually happens because it's up in the air now.
Cap's going up, so he's trying to make that bread. Can't blame him.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Panthers, they have a goalie they're paying $10 million.
They just won the cup.
Burrowski, and they just won the cup.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's possible.
Obviously, paying goalies a lot of money doesn't affect your team that much.
They used to say it wasn't possible to win with a $10 million player. Well, Florida just won with a $10 million goalie.
Two, I think maybe three $10 million players, too.
Barkov, maybe.
Kachuk, I don't know.
I don't know how much they're making.
They might be.
It should be.
Yeah.
Worth it for sure.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so Atlantic Division, what's everyone's official prediction right now for winner?
Panthers.
Florida Panthers.
Panthers.
So it's consensus. And who's the loser? Who's the worst one in the Atlantic Division?
That's tough.
Who's the Carolina Panthers? Who's the New England Patriots
in
the Atlantic Division?
I'm going to say the Senators this year.
Got the good goalie?
Yeah.
I was leaning Montreal. I mean, they're up and coming for sure, but
they did have
that whole division is kind of good. I don't think any of them will be necessarily dumpster fire.
Montreal just did have a huge injury in Patrick Laine.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with that. I don't know. This division is tough to decide. It's up in the air. Any team other any team other than Boston, Florida, Tampa, and Toronto could be super good or really bad. I don't know how to feel about it.
It's a tough one to pick. Official pick, though, Montreal.
Gotcha.
Yeah, probably same.
Yeah, I feel like they got the weakest goalie of most of these teams, and the Red Wings are kind of, they seem like they'll just be a mid team. Same with the Sabres, so it's got to be Montreal.
Sabres are contingent.
I do like what they're building out there in Montreal, though. Who knows? Maybe Lane Hudson goes crazy and proves me wrong. But...
yeah, former first overall pick, Juraj Slafkovský, he kind of had a breakout year the second half of the year last year, so I'm excited what he can do on that first line with Caulfield and Suzuki. It'll be very interesting.
Still a good team to watch, but I can't pick anyone else.
Yeah.
Really young.
Alrighty, well, I'll get my future bets in. Money line for the Panthers.
Florida Panthers.
That's the team. Well, we're going from the top of the Eastern Conference, if you're looking at the Google list of NHL teams. We're going down the other half, the Metropolitan Division. You got the Carolina Hurricanes, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the, as we mentioned, New Jersey Devils, New York Rangers, Philadelphia Flyers, the Penguins, and the Capitals. Ooh, and the New York Islanders. Are they forgetful this year? Should I be forgetting about the Islanders?
They had some good additions.
They got Barzal. I don't know who they added off the top.
Anthony Duclair. He's going to be a good addition to the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw that clip of him and Barzal preseason. That was kind of a nice play.
Yeah.
I think they did need more scoring, so
yeah,
that makes sense to me. But
that first line of Duclair, Horvat, and Barzal could
be very good. Oh, I forgot about Horvat,
yeah.
Noah Dobson's pretty good. They got a good goalie, but...
They have the stars to do it, but we'll see if they have the depth.
They're just notoriously a defensive-minded team and don't score very many goals. Mm-hmm. Went off solid defense and good goaltending, so that's why I call them a snooze fest.
Yeah. But other than that, I'd say the Rangers are going to take the division again. They won the President's Trophy last year for best regular season, but fell short in the playoffs. I think they're going to have another good regular season, make the playoffs again. I don't know if they're going to win the Cup. They have another year, biggest season. Islanders going to be better. Hurricanes are going to be a little worse, I feel like.
Slightly, but still good, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this division is very... this one's very interesting because you have Pittsburgh and Washington, two Hall of Fame players, both chasing records. Ovi with the goal record. Sid with... I don't know what record it is, but he's so good, so I made that up.
Yeah. He's chasing some
he's
record.
He's definitely Alrighty. Chasing something, but, I mean, obviously he's the best player in the last 20 years, so... But yeah, those two teams are going to be very interesting. They have 2 years left of these star players, superstar players. So
we'll see if they try to buy and run for another cup, or do they just ride out the last year's kind of missing playoffs?
Yeah,
we'll
I think Washington is just going to chase that goal record, and then Ovi's going to retire, and then they're in full rebuild mode. Yeah. Pittsburgh, I don't know, because Sid could play for another 5 years if he wanted to.
Yeah,
I really like the moves that Washington made this offseason as well. They had Mangiapane, who's a really good top six forward. Also like adding Duhaime, a little depth, some physicality on that third line.
What about Pierre-Luc Dubois, laziest
Pierre-Luc
player?
Pierre-Luc Dubois as well. Lost a bad contract, but he could be a solid player.
Yeah,
turn around. And
this
then they also have Jacob Chychrun in the back end.
This could be Pierre-Luc Dubois, Sam Darnold here. Who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
Maybe he just needs that trust.
Yeah.
Maybe the Washington Caps will give it to him.
The Philadelphia Flyers are going to be interesting because they just brought in their superstar in Matvei Michkov, who they drafted, I think, 7th overall.
Steal of a pick 2 years ago.
Yeah, he was a steal of a pick because he's from Russia and he had a contract under the KHL League. I don't remember what team it was with, but he couldn't come over. Teams were uncertain when he would be able to come over if that contract.
I remember this from last time we spoke about this contract thing with the Russian league.
Yeah, kind of like the Minnesota superstar in Kirill Kaprizov. He had the same deal, but teams weren't sure when he was going to come over, so he fell, and then Philadelphia absolutely stole him. He should have been second overall, behind Bedard, I think. So, yeah, they have a superstar in Michkov, and I'm very excited to watch him.
Yeah, he's going to be a really good player. And who's your division winner?
Was it a consensus Rangers for everyone?
He picked the Rangers. Ooh, we haven't picked
him. Interesting. Walked or going with the Rangers.
I would say this one's tough. This one's very tough because New Jersey has the pieces to go for it, a record type of year.
I need one team right now.
This one's tough. Give me New Jersey.
New Jersey Devils.
New Jersey Devils.
I was going to say New Jersey, but I hate that you picked them because now we're both riding New Jersey. But I like they've been looking for one thing for the past couple of years, a goaltender, and they just got him, Jacob Markstrom.
Yep.
I think he's a really good goalie. He's going to fit in really well. They have a great, great back end, and obviously a great offense, young superstar Jack Hughes. And I think they're going to be a really, really good team this year, assuming no critical injuries.
Yeah. I have a dark horse.
Jack Hughes stays healthy.
Yeah, Jack, hopefully. He's a good thing to see when he stays healthy. But I think a dark horse team to potentially get the second wild card spot. This one's very dark horse, but the Columbus Blue Jackets. I would say that. Wow. That's very bold, I know, but I would say that because I think everyone on that team is going to be very motivated to do the best they could because of the recent passing of the brothers, the Goudreau brothers. So I think everyone on that team is going to work their absolute bag off, and it could spark some magic. They could catch lightning in a bottle. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying.
I'm not saying it's happening. That's why I said very dark horse take here. But maybe.
I could see them maybe being like a Philly Flyers from last year where it comes down to like the very last game and another divisional game going on the same night, and maybe they sneak in 1 point ahead or with a tiebreaker. But I'm going to be honest, I was going to put them as my worst team in the Metro, simply because they're losing such a superstar player in Johnny Gaudreau, and also the fact Patrick Laine, goal scorer, is no longer with them.
Yeah, he was
hurt a lot, but I was going to have him in the basement of the league, to be honest.
Yeah,
I was the worst team in the league. One of the worst teams.
As sad as the Gaudreau deal is.
I also think they're going to be the worst team in the league, but I'm just saying they could catch lightning in a bottle. If they do, I said it here first.
On the surprise, Jeff.
On the surprise,
Jeff. All right, what's the take? What's the take to quote it?
The Columbus Blue Jackets could sneak into the second wild card spot in the I'm blanking right now.
You just forgot your own take.
In the Eastern Conference because of recent things that have happened with their team. If you know, you know. It's a touchy subject.
All righty. So everyone's taking different teams, or you're both going
Ryan
Devils.
Both
I got
the Devils.
Yeah, Devils over here.
Rangers, and we'll just make this very simple. So we've gone over both Eastern Conference divisions. Yeah. All right, we've picked our winners. But who is officially representing the Eastern Conference in the Stanley Cup Finals? So this isn't your winner. This is who's representing the Eastern Conference.
I'm going to be honest. They missed the playoffs last year, but I'm rocking with the Devils, man. I think that
really
team, it's either going to be them or Florida. I picked Florida last time. I do think Florida's good, but I mean, we'll see what happens. I do like everything that they got going on in New Jersey, and I figure why not throw out a little bit of a dark horse. Granted, I haven't won in the division, but they just haven't had much recent playoff success, so to call them in the Stanley Cup final is a little bold, but I'm going to do it.
That was my first pick as well, so I'm going to go with my second pick in the New York Islanders.
Islanders!
In the Cup Finals. That is very bold. That is very bold.
Really big dark horse.
But they have the pieces and the depth to do it. They just have to make it work. So that's my dark horse.
I love it.
You got to figure out how to score.
They do have to figure out how to score, and they had a huge addition. They had a huge addition in Anthony Duclair, who is a proven goal scorer, who can fit in very well on that first line. So we'll see.
Yeah, so I'm going to say there's going to be three teams at the top. It's going to be the Florida Panthers, Devils, or Rangers. One of those three teams are going to make the Cup Final of the East. Panthers did lose a little bit in Montreal and some depth, so we'll see if that depth scoring can
pick up. And can Reinhardt score 50 again?
Yeah. Big contract, signed 8 by 8.6, so big deal. And then as far as the Devils go, yeah, they're going to be kind of a dark horse. Just because they have much success last year, but
I'm
think they'll be better.
I'm praying on no injuries there for my Cup pick.
Yeah, and the Rangers have been a solid team for the last few years. So.
Any hockey fans that don't know contract talk, 8 by 8.6 is 8 years by $8.6 million.
Per year?
Per year.
Per year. So.
Oh, wow.
So that's in the $64 million plus range.
Yeah.
So, Walker, what was the official prediction? One team.
I'm going to go with the Panthers.
Panthers.
I like it.
They got the Panthers. They got the Islanders. They got the Devils.
I just couldn't pick the Cup champs. So.
Yeah, I couldn't pick the Cup champs, and you took my first pick, so I had to go a little.
Damn.
I had to go a little back door there.
All righty, well, we're heading out the door of the East, and we're heading into the Pacific Division in the Western Conference. That's where we'll start. I know you're pointing at me. We'll save the Wild for last. We'll save their division. Let's go to the Pacific. If anyone doesn't know, the Anaheim Ducks, Calgary Flames, Edmonton Oilers, LA Kings, San Jose Sharks, Seattle Kraken? Canucks, where are they from?
Vancouver
Canucks and the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Gentlemen, who's taking the Pacific?
Obviously, the Edmonton Oilers. They got McDavid. They got Drysdale. They just added Jeff Skinner. They got Nuge, 100-point player. Quietest 100-point player in the league. Evan Bouchard, Stuart Skinner.
Also add Victor Arvidsson.
Yeah.
Also
be...
Jeff Skinner as well. That'll be a huge add, I think, on the top six. And they added, they traded McLeod for the prospect in Buffalo.
Not Matt Savoy, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was Matt Savoy. Who?
He's in the A, though.
He's in the A, really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
The AHL.
I thought he would have been playing up there.
Yeah, they did have two big losses, though, in losing Holloway. And
who's that defenseman?
Broberg?
Yeah, to
St. Louis.
Yeah.
Those are two good young players, and it'll be kind of a big loss.
Yeah, they're still going to be very good, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they're going to win.
Compete for the company.
Yeah.
They got McDavid. That's kind of the simple answer there.
They're shoo-in first for the Pacific.
As for worst in the division, I'm going to go Calgary Flames. They just lost Markstrom. I don't know who their goalie is even.
Dustin Wolf.
Is he
coming
up?
He was a highly touted prospect, but he's 22, so.
He's a young goalie, so I don't know if he's starting or not, but I just don't. There's not much going on up there, so.
There's also not much going on in Anaheim or San Jose either. San Jose is really young. Anaheim's getting better. They're young as well.
Anaheim's my dark horse to shoot for a wild card this year.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, I can.
I think some of their young players take a step.
I can get
behind
that.
They still got John Gibson, so.
I can get behind that for sure. I think Vancouver is going to be. Vancouver and Vegas are going to be competing for that second spot in the Pacific. The loser of that competition will get the third spot. LA. I don't think they're going to be too good.
You had them falling off.
I had them falling off. I think they're going to miss the playoffs. Obviously, Edmonton's going to be the first in the Pacific. And I would say Anaheim sneaks in, too. I like that hot take. I can get behind that.
I would see them as, like, the eighth seed. But that, I don't know. I kind of think five are coming out of the Central.
They're only getting in if a couple teams have some major injuries.
In the Central Division.
Central Division is the best division in the league.
Yeah.
Two players to watch out for in the Pacific, I would say Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini, both on the San Jose Sharks. Both Macklin Celebrini was the first overall pick last year. Will Smith was 2 years ago, I think, three or four. Both supposed to have some good years coming up. So if you're a San Jose fan, be excited.
Yep. All righty. That's the thoughts on the Pacific Division, boys.
Yep.
Edmonton clears.
Wow. So consensus. Everyone's rocking with the Oilers.
Yeah, Edmonton's just too good.
Easiest division.
What about the Golden Knights? They're going to be good. I have a Golden Knights hat at home.
I think Vegas and Vancouver will be mid-90 point teams.
Which means?
95 point teams. So every win, you get 2 points. So do the math, however many wins that is. Every overtime or shootout loss is 1.2.
If you're 90 points on the season or higher, you typically.
Yeah, you're going to the playoffs this year, 90 points or higher. I think Vegas and Vancouver will be in the same boat there.
Yeah.
Go for second or third in the division.
Agreed.
Either or.
I like it, gentlemen. I like it. The Pacific Division, some good takes. But now we get to the NFC North, for any of my NFL fans, of the NHL, that is. The Central Division, where the Minnesota Wild play, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Colorado Avalanche, Dallas Stars, Nashville Predators, St. Louis Blues, Utah Hockey Club. Oh, yeah, it just sounds gross. Yeah. And the Winnipeg Jets, gentlemen, Central Division.
Who wants to kick us off?
Walker, hit us with it.
Yeah, so I'm going to start off with the Stars. The Stars, I thought, were them and the Avs were the best teams in the division last year. Stars are going to be really good again this year, along with the Avs. falling behind them. I think the pair is going to be a lot better. Like we said earlier, they made big additions. And Stamkos and Marchessault. Those are two good top six players. And then also Utah's going to be better, like I said earlier in the pod. Jets are going to fall off a little bit. Blues, Wild, Blackhawks. The Wild are kind of wild card this year. I like that.
I'm with you.
Wow, you boys are... Wow, I can't believe that. I got Wild going second in the division behind the Dallas Stars.
Alrighty.
That's maybe a hot take, depends who you ask, but I'm a diehard Wild fan. Utah's going to be very interesting. They just had a big extension to Dylan Gunther. I think it was 8x8, 8 years, $8 million a year. I think that's what it was. So they're going to be very interesting. Obviously, new team in Utah, new history, so it'll be interesting to see how they do.
Yeah. All right, I got a full list here for you. Division 1 through 8. Dallas is taking it. I agree with Walker there. As much as I hate the Stars, their team's kind of nasty. And Colorado, who knows what's going on with Nichushkin out there. Their top six is, you know, there's a lot of star power there, but the depth is concerning for me. I mean, they're still a great team, so I'm going to throw them at 2. I honestly got Nashville at 3. They got Roman Josi. They got UC Saros, Forsberg, Stamkos, Marchessault, as we've all talked about. Tomasino, good young mix, some gritty guys. I got the Wild at 4, number one wild card spot. Obviously, Homer, we're going to make playoffs. Assuming no bad injuries, but I think a couple players take a good step. Marco Rossi, Matt Boldy, Brock Faber, of course. I think I'm really hoping he's in the Norris conversation. I think maybe he could be, but we'll see. I just expect a lot of better seasons from some of our aging vets, too, who just signed extensions. I think they feel the pressure from the fans. So I got us. I mean, we could even take that third spot over Nashville if the vets really come through. And then from there, I got Utah as the second wild card. I like what they got cooking out there. And then just a quick recap, Blues at 6, Jets at 7, and the Hawks still last in the division. So I'm a Hawks hater.
I can agree with that. Hawks might not be last. I mean, I hate the Hawks also, but they had some huge additions in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
We shall see how that goes, but they're also, who knows, they're the Hawks, so have fun.
I don't think that they're better than any of the Blues had those big additions with the offer sheets. They had, I think, some injuries last year too, so I think they're going to maybe be a little bit better of a team, but with how stacked we are, I think they lose a lot of division games, which hurts them. Yeah. And then, obviously, I don't like the Jets either, so I had to put them at 7 because they're obviously better than the Hawks. They have Connor Hellebuck, so.
Yeah. Hawks are going to be a better team, but they're still going to be the worst team in the league.
Yeah, my list could easily be very wrong. I mean, Winnipeg was, did they make playoffs this year?
Yeah.
I mean, Hellebuck just won the Vezina, so. Yeah, I mean, they could easily be in playoffs, but I'm going to throw them at 7 because I hate them.
Yeah. Did they play Stars first round?
Who? Jets.
Yeah.
They played, shoot.
I don't know
Stars
who they
played.
It was the Oilers, because I think the Oilers played the Kings again, right?
Or did they play Vancouver?
I don't know. I can't forget. Or I can't remember.
They're not a memorable team, so.
Our amateur experts trying to recall.
That's why I
said
amateur.
This division is very interesting. I think it's the most balanced division in the whole league. Any team could, maybe not any team. Chicago is probably not going to make the playoffs, but I would say any team could sneak in at the second wild card spot for sure if they strike luck at the end of the season.
I think that one's a toss-up regardless. I think it could easily be any of St. Louis, Winnipeg, or Utah, but I like what Utah's got going on, so I picked them.
Yeah, this will be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, and I just want to throw out there because you're mocking my amateur experts. If I was able to use my phone, I would have had all the stats. I would have had everything pulled up. I would have been able to tell you who they played.
That's just a running gag for the pod that you don't have internet for anything.
I can't use it, so I would have had the facts for you, but
Winnipeg played Colorado.
Ah,
Nashville played Vancouver, Vegas against Dallas, and LA and Edmonton.
Oh, I recall because we all thought Vegas was going to play who was it? We didn't think Vegas was going to play the Stars, so all of our brackets we made last time on.
Were masked.
Yeah.
I said we should have waited until after
the Yeah, why are you making brackets before the...
It was like the day, I think it was the day before
I
it ended.
I suggested it, but Ruger was antsy to get us on the pod for cup predictions, so...
I couldn't complain about getting the pod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand the hype, but there's that.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. Who do you think is leading the Wild?
Leading the Wild this year?
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously got to be Kirill, right?
Yeah. I think Kirill is due for a breakout year. He's been injured the past 2 years. The one season he wasn't injured and played fully because his rookie season was a COVID year. The one season he played fully, he had 108 points, I believe, with 47 goals.
He also had a younger Zuccarello, and he had Fiala on the power play. So
yeah, that definitely helps. But I think Boldy and Fiala, Boldy's going to have a breakout year, which is going to boost Kirill for sure.
Yeah,
I think Ek is going to have a breakout year. But yeah, I got Kirill going for 110, 50 goals.
50 goals, 60 goals, apples.
60 apples.
Just being the top dog?
Like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Winning the Hart Trophy, too.
So.
MVP?
Well, let's wait on the predictions just for a second. No MVP picks yet. We're going to save that.
Most valuable player to the team.
All righty. So what's everyone's official Central Division pick? Who's winning the Central?
Dallas Stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Consensus.
They got Ottinger.
Yeah,
they got
first team, huh?
They got Robertson. They got Rupe Hintz. I love Rupe Hintz. Quick skater.
Yeah.
Young. They got a good mix of young and middle-aged stars. So.
Yeah, Stars are team. Stars are winning it. Chicago, I think it's consensus, is going to be the last two. So.
Yeah.
Well, alrighty. Someone sent the Devils. Someone sent the Islanders. Someone sent the Panthers. Who is representing the Western Conference in the Stanley Cup Finals? And then we'll get into who we think's winning.
Is it as consensus as I think it might be? Or is Ryan going to throw out some goofy pick?
I got...
Because
I think if Gabriel Landeskog can come back for Colorado and fit in on the second or third line, I think they have the best chances of coming out of the Western Conference.
That surprises me.
Gabriel Landeskog, so he's their captain.
Of
the Colorado Avalanche.
The Avalanche.
So he's been injured the past 2 years. He was a big piece of their cup run when they won the cup in 2021. So I think he can fit in very well this year if he is back to 100%.
I kind of thought we were all going to go, you know, team just lost in the championship. They got McDavid. How do you not pick the Oilers? Yeah. I think there's no way that McDavid doesn't win his first one. I honestly, not to spoil my winner, but I just, there's no way that McDavid doesn't drag that team to the playoffs. I mean, literally, what, he set the assist record in playoffs or the points record?
He set the points record, I'm pretty sure, in playoffs, because it was like...
Yeah, I mean, he had an insane playoff run to drag the Oilers with almost no goaltending. All the way to the cup finals and to game seven. So
he was 5 points shy of Wayne Gretzky, who had 47. He had 42.
So it was the assist record?
It was the assist record. Let me see that.
Yeah, he broke the assist record.
He broke the assist record in the playoffs. He also had 100 assists in the regular season, which that's the first time it happened in, I think, like 30 years or something.
Yeah, and I know they got money to play with during the year. They're not too cap tight. I think they make some good trades come trade deadline time. Ship out a few picks, maybe ship out Matt Savoy if he's still on the A. If it means that Cup's coming to Edmonton, you think they're not doing that?
Yeah.
Hell, I would. Yeah, you just traded for him, but
I mean, you got it
now. You got McDavid in your 10.
If you're not trying to make your team the best possible, then what are you doing as a general manager? Who cares? If you have relations with some players, it's a business. All you're trying to do is win.
If you have the opportunity to win a cup, you gotta
win a cup.
That's it.
I think Edmonton, easy.
That's the whole point of the job, is make your team as best as possible, no matter what.
Yeah, I like that. You're saying.
I mean, it's a business.
You're the GM. It's the decision you gotta make. So, Walker Gating, you guys are going with the Edmonton Oilers.
Yes,
Ryan, Colorado Avalanche.
Colorado Avalanche, if Landeskog can come back, if not, Oilers for sure.
Okay, well, we're going to stick with the Avalanche to keep it spicy.
Yeah, we'll stick with that.
So we've been through all four divisions, you know, all the teams they've battled. We're now to the finals. Ryan, I want you to kick me off your Stanley Cup finals. Take me through what the seven-game series is going to look like between the Avalanche and the Islanders?
So I think...
Which sounds kind of goofy now that I said out loud.
Yeah, saying it out loud, that's
it sounds goofy, but I think Avalanche get it done in six at most, six games. It's going to be hard for the Islanders to make the playoffs, but I think that they can do it. I really do. But yeah, I would have the Avs in six games. First game, it would be home for the Avs probably because they would be higher in the standings. They're going to just absolutely shut down the Islanders. First game at home at Ball Arena. Second game at home, I think it's going to be a little bit tighter because the coach is going to be on the Islanders because they probably got rinsed the game before.
Ooh, real quick, now that you bring up the coach, former Colorado Avalanche goaltender and former coach, Patty Waugh is the coach of the Islanders, so there would be some drama going on there for sure.
Stanley Cup winning Colorado Avalanche goaltender Patty Waugh. So that is one of the best goaltenders of all time. But yeah, I think game two is going to be a lot closer. Colorado still gets it done in game two. Game three at wherever the Islanders play. Forgot their arena name, but Islanders get it done game two or game three. Game four, Colorado gets it done. Game five, I think the Islanders get it done. And then game six, I think Colorado will close it out.
You think Nate Dogg is going to let the boys lose at home game five?
I do. I really do. I think because Patty Waugh is a very hard-nosed coach, he's going to be on the boys. I hope he's on the boys. He's got to get them disciplined and dialed, and I think that'll be the spark for that game. But
who do you think is carrying the Islanders this far?
Noah Dobson.
I think Noah Dobson
is due for a breakout year for sure. 100%. He's very skilled, yes, on offense.
That would be a wild Stanley Cup final.
But
yeah, you might be one of very few who would ever pick that.
Yeah. Is this like
Colorado and Islanders fan? Yeah,
I should bet that.
Is this like when you make a March Madness bracket and end up with like the 6-seeded Tennessee playing like the 10-seeded Butler or something?
Yeah. Probably like the Commanders versus like the freaking Bills or something.
I was gonna say it's like the Rams versus who's a wild team out in the AFC. I don't know, like the Jets.
Ravens?
Yeah, the Ravens. Oh, but the Ravens are good. Who's like
a decent team?
Yeah. Well, I said Rams as the Avalanche because they both just won championships a couple years ago. So I was trying to think of like a just fringe playoff team out in the AFC.
I like this, though. We're not going with the Kansas City Chiefs every single year. Ryan has spiced it up.
Yeah.
Now, Walker, I want you to walk me through your Stanley Cup championship between the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers.
A rematch.
Ooh, there we go.
As much as I hate to pick that, I just think those are the two best teams. But I think this year's going to be a little different. I think the Oilers are going to have that extra juice. I think they're going to make a couple good additions in Arvidsson and Skinner. I think that's going to help out their depth. They've always need that depth scoring. They have good defenders in Ekholm and Bouchard. So I think the Oilers are going to get it done in about 5 games. It's going to be kind of a quick series this year. I feel like the Panthers are going to be kind of banged up. I just have a feeling like they were against the Knights a couple years ago.
I can see it.
But yeah, I feel like the Oilers are going to come out on top.
Mm-hmm.
If we're following a trend, the past two Stanley Cup losers won the Cup the next year. And the Oilers lost last year to the Panthers.
Yeah.
So the Oilers, if we're going by the trend, are going to win this year. But we'll see.
I like that.
Yeah. That's why I got the Edmonton Oilers winning 4 games. McDavid sweep.
Wow.
Sweep?
Yeah. Who do I have in the East? Devils?
You have the Devils and the Oilers.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, do you really think Jack Hughes can match McDavid in the playoffs?
No.
What, like head to head? I don't think he can take it.
I think
maybe Hischier shuts him down, but
Maybe.
Yeah. Is he going to be able to put up with big teams out East, Boston and Florida come playoff time?
I think the Devils have insane depth. I mean,
I think I might go similar to Wachter saying that Florida Panthers are all beat up. I think New Jersey's going to be pretty beat by Cup final time, and McDavid just runs through them.
Huh?
Yeah.
I like that.
Edmonton Cup.
So, two people going with Edmonton to take it all home. And then we have the Avalanche. Ryan, I like it. It's different.
Yep.
It's not like the ordinary.
I like to see hated teams do good.
Really?
I do.
is that?
The Islanders.
Are they a hated team?
They're kind of hated on just because they play a weird style of game.
Boring style game.
It's boring. They're very defensive, so there's not a lot of goal scoring.
Mm-hmm.
So they get hated on for that, but I would like to see them succeed.
It happens. We love the teams. This is fun. I like all these teams that you guys have talked about. But teams are kind of the surface level. Because as we dive into teams, we have players. And these players, they all get awards. And so what I would like you gentlemen to do is give me your official award predictions. Now, I have the Rookie of the Year, the Goalie of the Year, the Defenseman of the Year, and the MVP. Is there one more I should add on there?
You could throw on Coach of the Year, but I don't know how many coaches.
Do we care about Coaches of the Year?
I like a good coach, but I don't know. What other?
Hey, coaches are boring. Let's stick with the four I listed.
The Art Ross and the Maurice Richard should be on there.
Yeah.
Art Ross is most points in the regular season, so it's strict at the end of the regular season, you know who won it, most points. And then Maurice Richard is most goals for the year. Right.
Well, I don't have those written down, so you gentlemen can start with those two.
I got Matthewson and the Rocket Richard. Most goals in the season. It's kind of an easy pick.
That's a concise list right there.
Yeah. I don't think he goes as crazy as last year. I think he might be high 50s, but I don't think he hits 60 again. And I'm going to say there's... How many 50-goal scorers were there this year? Three? Reinhardt, Hyman, and then Matthews leading?
Yeah, I believe so. Besser might have hit it.
He was very close.
He was close.
I don't even know if he hit 40.
He did.
I would say, but I'm going to say that there's 5 50-goal scorers this year.
Yeah.
So it's a tight race.
Torrance is going to keep continuing to go up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Matthews for Maurice Richard between everyone.
So the top, the most goal scorer in the league. Okay. And the other, Ryan, you had a point.
Brock Besser did hit 40 goals.
He did hit 40. Okay, so he didn't hit 50.
Yeah, squeeze those points in. He has the internet. You don't.
Yeah.
You know anything.
I don't. I don't know anything. I don't have. I'm like a caveman. I'm like the Amish.
You're kind of like a
caveman. All right, but what was that other award you brought up?
The Art Ross, most points in the year. Obviously going to McDavid. But
yeah. That's 100% McDavid.
Or you go Kucherov, too. Mm-hmm. Kucherov could have been good against all his line now.
Yeah. But Kucherov is, McDavid, he's definitely going to win it, I would say.
Now, if you guys could just quickly explain for the viewers the difference between goals scored and points scored.
So, a goal is obviously when you put the puck in the net, counts as a goal on the stat sheet. And points is goals plus assists. There's a maximum of 2 assists on every goal. So if Wachter passes the puck to Ryan, Ryan passes the puck to me, I get a goal, or obviously I score. I get a goal.
I love that you had yourself scored.
Yeah, because I'm a goal scorer. And then Ryan and Wachter would both get an assist, and we all get, that's all counted as 1 point for each of us.
Very nice.
So, points plus assist, or goals plus assists.
Yeah.
Those points.
So McDavid on that one, for sure.
Definitely. Nate Dogg maybe second.
Nate Dogg could be up there too.
Yeah. Nate Dogg or Kucherov.
Drysdale could be up there.
Drysdale will be up there, but
he's going to be with McDavid.
Yeah. They're kind of a pair.
Well, let's dive into the fun one. The Young Bucks. The Rookie of the Year. The Calder Trophy? Is that the correct one?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So who even are the top rookies? I don't even think we hardly talked about that. So who should we keep? Who should be on the radar?
I think the guy that I'm going to pick to win it is going to be Matvei Michkov, the Russian. He's a little older because he came from Russia. Obviously, he didn't have a contract. They weren't able to get him over here because he was on contract with the KHL team. But, I mean, the guy's a monster. I think he's neck and neck with Bedard until he kind of went off the map due to some Russia things, obviously.
Russia things.
Real world conflicts.
I mean, this guy had 109 points in 26 games at one point. And the MHL was a really good league. And then also, he put up 41 points in 47 games in the KHL.
I think I'm going to have to agree with you. I don't know how good Macklin Celebrini is going to be out in San Jose. I think if he's playing, I don't think he's going to be... he might have a similar season to Bedard's rookie year. I don't know. Isn't he a smaller forward, under 6 foot? I just Hitchcock? Think, no, Celebrini.
Oh, yeah, I think he's like 5'10", 5'11".
I think his height might affect him a little bit. Isn't Michkov a little bigger?
He's more like well-rounded.
Isn't he a bigger 6'2"? Yeah, I think, and well, he's a sniper.
He's not big, he's just heavier.
Isn't he 6'2", though?
No, he is 5'10".
He's 5'10", too?
Oh. He's 76.
So they're both smaller players. I don't know. I just think Michkov, with that KHL experience, he's going to take it.
I agree. I think, yeah, I'm going to say someone else just because you both picked Michkov. I'm going to go with Logan Stankoven out of the Dallas Stars.
Ooh, good pick.
He had 14 games in 24, or 14 points in 24 games last year, and then 8 points in 19 games in the playoffs. So he's experienced some high skill hockey for sure. He's very skilled coming up, and I think with Joe Pavelski retiring, or not officially retiring, but he's retired, I think he's going to fill in probably a top six role, and I think he's going to do very well up there.
Yeah, so I could also see Will Smith being in the conversation out of San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
Will Smith.
Yeah.
He's transitioned to the ice?
Yep.
Yeah, he did.
Surprising.
After he got slapped by Chris Rock, he picked up hockey.
I love that. So another, official prediction. Oh, one more point, Ryan.
Well, I just wanted to throw out a couple big names to look out for. So you have, you said Will Smith. I would say Celebrini, Cutter Gauthier with Anaheim, Lane Hutson with Montreal.
He'll be up there.
And then maybe Rutger McGroarty with Pittsburgh. I don't know if they play him on the top six. He's a very highly touted prospect, but his hype kind of fell with some organizational issues. So
out in Winnipeg.
Out in Winnipeg, and then he eventually got traded to Pittsburgh, so we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, maybe Devin Levi out in Buffalo. Is this technically his rookie year? Did he hit the games played mark for a goalie to
I'm
be
not
considered
too sure.
A rookie?
I'm not sure about
I'll
that.
Look right now. What is it, 20 games?
I have no idea. I don't know if he's considered a rookie this 15 year. Or but 20. He's going to be a good player, I think, or a good goalie.
Yeah.
And then I like the Lane Hutson pick.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good young players this year.
Yeah.
A lot of good skill. A
lot of good rookies across the league.
Yep.
Look, sure. Just watch everywhere.
Watch out for Wild Prospect / I guess full-time player now, Murat Husnadinov.
Yeah.
Another Russian, very dark horse pick.
Okay.
Yeah, except he's stashed on our fourth line, so he'll be more of a defensive guy, I feel.
Yeah, but yeah. Hopefully he can show some skill and get bumped up.
Maybe get some PP time.
Yeah.
Like get
PP2.
Yeah, a little PP2 action. Power play.
Power play, okay.
Power play, peeps.
Power play.
Definitely. Peeps. All right. So, official prediction for Calder Trophy, Walker.
Matvei Michkov.
Rye.
Logan Stankoven.
Logan Stankoven.
And Matvei Michkov.
Boom, Jim. I like it. You know, rookies, they're young. They haven't been here that long. But a lot of the time, the guys trying to stop the puck from going in the net have been here a while. Now, let me ask you, who's taking home the Goalie of the Year award? That is the, oh gosh,
the Vezina.
Okay, I was going to say it correctly this time.
I got Jake Oettinger out in Dallas.
Jake Oettinger?
Jake Oettinger. He's from Minnesota. We've talked about him before. Great goalie. But I think since Dallas is going to be so good this year, usually it's one of the goalies from the top teams. So I just have a feeling it's going to be Jake Oettinger's year.
Yeah, I mean, I've always liked Jake Oettinger. Obviously, you watch him play in the high school hockey tournament when I was younger, played for Lakeville North. I feel like he's going to have another really good year. And as far as anyone else, I'd probably say Hellebuck could have a good year, but the team from him might not be as good. He won the Vezina last year.
Shesterkin could be good.
Bobrovsky could be good.
Markstrom.
Did you say Vasilevsky?
No,
he could be good too.
But I'd probably say I'm going to go. Just
start. Okay. So I'm going to go with Ilya Sorokin, the New York Islanders goalie. And I say that with relation to my cup pick. I think he's going to carry them throughout the regular season and then carry them in the playoffs. He's a Russian goalie, and Russia seems to absolutely pump out all-star goalies somehow. Since entering the league in 2021, he leads the league in shutouts with 18. So that just is part of his track record of how good he is and how much he's kind of carried the Islanders to being in the playoffs the past 3 or 4 years. And I think he could strike gold in the playoffs and carry them to a cup run, not win, because they're going to lose the Avalanche. But
and real quick,
run.
real quick, because we were just talking about rookies, and then we started talking about goalies. Is Askarov playing out in San Jose? He's another rookie goaltender.
Rookie goalie?
Yeah, I think he's in the NHL, right? That's all the reason he requested a trade, is he felt like he should be an NHL goalie. So we'll see if he can maybe get in the Calder Trophy conversation.
Yeah, he has a very good opportunity there in San Jose. Young goalie, young team, so they could all grow together and evolve and make something happen there.
Yeah. Good stuff. I like that. Goaltenders, very... are they underappreciated? Are they appreciated enough? They give goalies enough
love?
They
get their love.
Okay.
Yeah, they get their love. I feel like they're appreciated. For sure.
Yeah.
I had to double check. Well, let me ask you. Do defensemen get their dues credited to them?
Never. No. It's always the defense's fault.
Always the defense's fault.
Right, Wachter?
Always the defense's fault.
Well, it's a good thing the NHL does not forget about the defensemen, because they give out the Norris Trophy, gentlemen. Is that correct? So... who's going to be the best defenseman this season?
Yeah. I think this one's pretty pretty agreeable. Cale Makar, obviously. I think.
Okay, I want everyone to know, Ryan just said this is pretty agreeable, and I got gas faces.
maybe that was a little bit of a hot take, but he's the best defenseman in the game right now. And if Nathan MacKinnon and Casey Mittelstadt, newly acquired second-line center, can pop off, he's going to have a very good year, because they both rely on each other, so it's a mutual thing. So if MacKinnon does good, Makar does good. If Makar does good, MacKinnon does good. So I have Cale Makar.
That's fair.
Obviously, Cale Makar is an unreal defenseman, but I feel like one of the more underappreciated defensemen and just one of the best in the NHL in total is Miro Heiskanen. I feel like he's going to have a big breakout year this year. He had a really good year last year, and he's just going to keep on continuing, getting better and better.
I like that.
It's hard for him to have another breakout year when he just keeps going up and up and up, but I can definitely see it happening. He's very skilled.
Especially with Dallas being a good team this year. I can see it. I'm going to throw out a couple names that I don't know, feel deserve some honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Quinn Hughes out in Vancouver.
Reigning Norris
champ, Quinn Hughes. And then we'll go out east with Adam Fox. Then we'll go back out west with Roman Josi and back out east with Victor Hedman. I think those are all defensemen capable of winning the Norris.
Rock Faber.
But that's where I was going to get to, is the boy I got money on, Brock Faber. That's my dark horse pick of the pod. I got Brock Faber having an extreme breakout year for the Wild and winning the Norris Trophy.
I really hope that happens.
That's definitely a stretch.
My dark horse, I would say, actually, did you say your prediction?
Yeah.
Okay. My dark horse is Rasmus Dahlin. I think Buffalo is due for a breakout year. Tage Thompson, it's the same thing with MacKinnon and Makar. They're both mutual with each other, Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin, and I think Tage is going to do good. So, dark horse, Dahlin, he's very, very skilled defenseman.
If I had to be realistic, I'm honestly going to go Roman Josi. I think he's a great combo of offense and defense, and... Nashville being one of my improved teams this year, I think he'll have a big year.
He'll have a big year at those additions, and Stammer and Marchessault.
Yeah,
those are definitely. Two good goal scorers they pass the puck to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know Yossi's going to do good because he's pretty old, so he's definitely going to put his all in these last couple cup run years.
Yeah.
So I could see that happening for sure.
Yeah.
Very good, gentlemen. And Walker, are you the only defenseman here? You two play forward. You guys play hockey. Yeah.
Correct.
Jane plays defense.
Yeah,
I jump up before a little bit.
Yeah, I'll be focusing on my D game this year.
And who's the best out of you three? Who's the best?
I think we have to go to Walker, because he's the only one that played varsity for what, 3 years, even 2 years. So we just have to go Walker with that one.
All right. I'm just curious to know because as you know, there can only be the best at one thing. So who's going to be the Hart Trophy winner, the MVP of the NHL season, who is the best?
I think it's most pretty consensus. No?
Yeah, 100%. I would go with Kirill Kaprizov. I think he's going to carry the Wild to a deep cup run this year. I think, because that award is the most valuable to their team, so it's like whoever produces for their team the most and kind of uplifts them and pushes them.
That's where I got beef with this award, because it usually goes to one of the obvious, like, superstars of the league who light it up, probably won the Art Ross, if not were second or third in points. But I agree with you, and the award says most valuable to their team, and I think that's Kirill because he carries our team year after year after year. Without Kirill, the Wild are basically nothing, so that is why I'm shouting out Kirill, but I do think it's going to go to Connor McDavid again. He's so cup hungry after losing that one. He was that close. I think there's nothing that's going to stop him this year. So
I'm in the MVP. Intro to the show face-off.
Yeah, he's pretty pissed.
He's pissed off.
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to have another heart year again.
Yeah.
Obviously, I would love if Kirill won it, but I don't think that's...
I just don't think that the voters actually pick based on valuable to their team. They kind of just look at... It seems like it's more of a who's the best player in the league award.
I would say it's kind of like politics. It's whoever's the most marketable, whoever's name is the biggest kind of type thing. That goes hand in hand with the Norris Trophy. There's been multiple Norris Trophy winners who probably shouldn't have won it, but they did because their points were so high. But their actual defensive game isn't great because the Norris is the best defenseman. So it's definitely based off politics, I would say, and it's gotten a little out of hand. But I'm not the one making that decision, so
I will be
one day, but currently not.
Okay, so restate it, just the name.
Connor McDavid.
Kirill Kaprizov.
I love it. I love the predictions like that, and you know they're not popular. You know, unless is Kirill a popular pick?
He's in the conversation, but it's very highly dependent on the Wild being good, which we're not going to be like the top contender in the league. So it's tough, I think, this year, but I think give it 2 to 3 years when we're a contender. I think he'll definitely be in the MVP conversation.
Have to get him re-signed, though.
Yeah. Give him a blank check.
I mean, he's undoubtedly one of the best players.
Yeah, he's, I would say, top 8. Top 9, maybe, but that depends who you ask.
I'll say top 10.
Pretty solid. You know, it's debatable. You know, a lot of people have different top 10s for things. A lot of people have different takes for things. And what I want to ask you guys, we're kind of coming to the end of the NHL season preview, but what I want to know is what is each one of yours hot takes for this upcoming season? What's something you're going to say and people are going to give you a side eye, look at their friends like, what's this guy talking about? Does anyone want to begin?
I did just say my dark, dark, dark horse pick for the year was that Brock Faber is going to win the Norris, so I think I have to stick with that as my hottest take.
Could you compare that to something? To let like?
It would be like, I'm trying to think in NFL terms, let's say Jordan Addison suddenly was the top receiver in the league like this year.
Okay.
But as obviously Brock Faber is a defenseman, but just like that quick of a jump from being a good, like really good rookie to like the best at the position is kind of insane, especially at Faber's age. So
only a JJ kind of
deal. Yeah. I'm just going to have to go with that as my hottest take because they said it's my dark, dark, dark pick. So.
My hottest take, and this could happen. Like tomorrow, it could happen in 10 minutes. I think Jeremy Swayman is going to get traded.
I agree.
From the Boston Bruins, just because of the contract situation that is going on there. I think he'll get traded for a young goalie prospect, potentially Devin Levi from Buffalo. But yeah, I just don't see them getting things worked out now that there's been a lot of media coverage about it and everything is just exploited. So I don't see Swayman re-signing with Boston.
Please not to Chicago.
Yeah, please not to Chicago, though. I think they only do it if they get a young, good goalie prospect.
They have some. Chicago's got good probably goalie prospects, and they could throw in a forward prospect, too. I mean, they don't need a bunch of good center prospects. They already got Bedard.
Like, all more?
Yeah.
Please, no.
Frank Nazar.
If it ends in Swayman in Boston or in Chicago, I don't want it.
Yeah. As for me, I'm going to go... I like the Utah Hockey Club this year. I feel like they made really good moves. I feel like they're on the come up. They have a lot of good, really good young players. I feel like they're going to be... It's a really hot take, but I feel like they're going to be top 3 in the Central this year.
Top 3 in the Central. And you have Dallas winning it. And you scoffed at me saying the Wild in wild card. Yeah. So are you saying the top 3 is Dallas and then Utah or Minnesota?
No, I'm gonna say. I just want to check. I'm gonna say Dallas, Colorado.
Okay. So the one, wow. One wild card.
Yeah. Right. I could see Utah being good, but maybe not that good. But
I mean, it's hot.
What do you guys think about their jersey deal? Like not having a actual team name yet.
I mean, the jersey is so clean.
I think people are hating on the jerseys for no reason.
Yeah.
If the Wild had jerseys like that and all it said was Minnesota across the front, I'd love that. Yeah. I think the jerseys still look sick, and I think the idea to wait a year and get a good logo under your belt and understand what the fans want for a team name is way better.
We are hearing it's going to be the Yeti, though.
Yeah, I would love the Utah Yeti.
That fits.
Utah Yeti would be good, but if they wait this long and it's not the Yeti and something brutal,
then it's going to be disastrous.
Yeah, it's going to be like the Commanders in Washington.
It absolutely has to be the Yeti.
Commanders don't even have a logo, do they? It's just W.
It's just W.
The Yeti will have a logo, though.
Yeah, they should.
They won't be a big U.
Yeah, Utah jerseys are very simple, but it's a good simple. It's not like, what is this? It's like, okay.
Is there a lot of mountains out in Utah?
Oh, yeah. I think it's like the Red Rock, like Grand Canyon type thing.
You think they could get like an outdoor game out there?
Oh, for sure. It gets cold in the winters, for sure.
Yeah. That'd be pretty sweet.
What if they don't go Yeti just because of how big Yeti coolers, like mugs are?
What do you mean? That's a free sponsorship.
Well, I don't know, like, if they would want to do that since they share the same name.
Official cooler of the Utah Yeti.
Is Yeti?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. It would be like
the official sponsor of the Utah Yeti. Yeti.
Well, yeah, think about like the Vikings are kind of sponsored. Aren't we sponsored by like Toyota, like official vehicle of
the Vikings? What if it was Viking?
Or it's the Wild.
Wild have Toyota helmets. Yeah. Or Toyota helmet decals.
So, like, they can just work out a deal. Maybe that's part of the reason why they couldn't get the name so quick. They have to work out the deal with Yeti coolers.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah.
I still want Super Soakers.
Super Soakers? Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Salt Lake City Super Soakers?
Yeah. That'd be perfect. I could drop a perfect logo.
You could crack.
Could also be the Utah logo. Storm and Mormon.
Could be the Storm and Mormon.
I like that. Yeah.
Well, we've had some hot takes. I mean, I'll leave the floor open right now. Any final thoughts for the NHL season? Anything else you guys want to get off your chest before we move on?
What's that?
Wild make it to the second round.
Yeah.
Please, the playoffs?
Yep.
So I got one thing to look out for this year that's huge is the Four Nations face-off. Mm-hmm. It's USA, Canada, Finland, and Sweden. All the top NHL players from those countries will face off in a tournament-type thing, but that is going to be very cool. It's going to be over the All-Star break. It's
replacing the All-Star game, isn't it?
It could be. I am not too sure.
I think it's fully replacing it. So the All-Stars for the year are going to be strictly from the U.S., Canada, Sweden, and Finland.
Yeah. If they officially replace it, they have to add Russia, I think. Russia is the top country in the world for hockey. I would say they produce top hockey players, I would say that.
I mean, one of the top.
They're in the top four, in my opinion.
Yeah, one of the top four countries in the world for hockey. They have to play in these. I mean, it's just going to make it much more competitive. And it's not like they have any part of what's going on and, you know, whatever politics are doing over there. So I think let the Russians play.
Let the Russians play.
I think that eventually they should add, obviously, Team Russia. Add like a team Czechoslovakia combo.
Czechia.
And then if you can't get another Europe team, make a Team Europe like they did in that World Cup of Hockey.
Yep.
And if you got one of those and you still need another team, do the same thing, Team North America, like they did at World Cup of Hockey, and have it be like a U under 24 years old team or under 23 kind of thing. And if they're obviously make those the last teams to be picked. So, like, you'll never have a under-23 player who should be on Team USA that ends up on Team North America. Have that be, like, the second selection. And it's just young stars.
Yeah, I like that. Give them a chance to showcase what they can prove against these stars.
Make it a lot more exciting and would bring in a lot of eyes, I think.
Yeah. I'm really excited for Best on Best Hockey, though. It's coming back, finally.
It's been a while.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Catch him in the Olympics.
Gentlemen, I love that. A lot of stuff with the NHL this season. We'll see how correct your predictions are. We'll have to try and remember it. We'll have to try and go over it. How about we change the scenery a bit? Because here on the Surprise Jab podcast, we have a tradition. Every time I have a guest, I got to play a little game. I got to do a little blind rank with you, gentlemen. So everyone, I believe you have pen. I believe you have paper. I believe I've provided. And what I want each of you to do is write out 10 numbers, 10 numbers, 1 through 10. And I'm going to list a category. I'm going to list a category. And I'm going to have you guys blind rank this on a scale of 1 to 10.
Blind rank the category?
Yes.
Or something in the category?
We've played this before. Nothing's changed.
Was it like UFC fighters?
That was, yes. Last time, I think I did natural disasters or something.
You did historic events.
And I started
I had some good ones for that.
That was a fun side. I encourage you all to go check that one out. Me, Jaden, and Walker's last episode. But for this one, I told you I was going to do actresses. Okay, but I decided to switch it up. All right.
A surprise.
I decided to surprise you.
Should have expected that.
Wow. What do you know? What a shocker. Yeah. And today I decided to go with 10 random animals.
Let's go. I love an animal.
But I want you guys to wait. Because these animals, you're going to rank them on how well you think you would do in a fight with them.
Oh. Is this... Okay, I just want to know. Is the list of animals that you have spanning across, like, every animal in the book? It could be literally anything.
I'm going from
narrowed
a,
into like predators.
I'm going from a bug to something that swims in the ocean. I'll tell you, this is so random.
Could be a stick bug. Could be a shark.
I googled animals and picked 10 random ones I saw.
All right.
So we'll kick things off. We're going for a big boy here. How about a moose? How well are you boys faring against a moose?
One being the best.
One being, I can kick that animal's ass. 10 being, I'm dead.
We're just talking about him at the end, or like right now are we discussing?
Right now, we'll wait till the end since it's a surprise. We'll wait till the end since it's a surprise. Everyone, do we have a moose?
Yeah.
I'm not looking at yours, little devious boy. Alrighty, next up, guys, we had to go with a big boy here. A crocodile. Ooh. Crocodile, you know, maybe you're a... Who is that famous Australian guy? Rest in peace. Stingray got him.
Steve Irwin.
I should have put a stingray. I think you guys could have beaten a stingray.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Is it straight fist fight or do I get like one weapon?
Nope. It's just you versus an animal.
And we find a crocodile.
Is it like
in
their habitat? Is it like a crocodile just walked up the steps here and I gotta fight it, or
I'm talking. Let's.
I kind of need some context.
You're in.
I don't work too in.
All right. Oh, I like this. How about you're in an arena?
I'm in an arena.
And if it's so,
I'm in the octagon.
You're in the octagon. But what I want you. So like, there's a couple for crocodile for water wise.
Yep.
I'm talking the water is just enough to cover the animal.
Enough to
keep them alive.
Is this clear water?
Any water, whatever this, water they need.
This is...
Or like average...
This is
swamp water.
Could be
this
swamp
is
water.
Coon Lake water.
Oh, then it's the clearest, cleanest water of all time.
Impossible. Wow. You ever been to Clear Lake, bud?
The
clearest water. Alrighty. And this sucker, you best bet your ball on him in water. Your third animal, a snapping turtle. Mm. A snapping turtle. I picked one up. They're snappy, I'll tell you. They'll nab your finger. Snapping turtle. A little common in Minnesota. We got them up here, guys. Number four. Mind you, you're just in a little octagon.
Number four. Number three.
Number four. I've gone moose, crocodile, snapping turtle. Number four. This guy. How about a cheetah? You're not on the plains, all right? We've clarified it. You got a set area. You're fighting a cheetah. Fully grown male cheetah. How will you boys fare? I can't wait to find this out. Number five, this one I wrote this and I was laughing because I was just picturing it. How about a full-grown male silverback gorilla? How about a good old gorilla? Maybe you're Tarzan. Maybe you're, what's her name, Jane Goodall? Or is that apes?
Jane Doe.
Jane Goodall, she hung out with the apes?
I don't know
this one. You know what I'm talking about. All right, number six, a frog. From the Amazon rainforest.
All right.
Yeah. Just stop on it. Alrighty. Are we all good on frog?
Yes.
Number 7. I don't know what I was thinking. A butterfly.
Oh,
a little butterfly. With razor sharp knives attached to his wings. I'm joking.
Sharks with laser beams. You know what movie that's from?
Dude, that's who I'm being for Halloween. Really? I'm being Austin Powers for Halloween.
I'm going to cook something up for you then.
Oh, baby. Shagadelic. Alrighty. Number 8. A lion. A lion. How do we think we're doing against a lion? Could you get behind it? Maybe put in a rear naked chokehold? Maybe a Kimura? An armbar? We'll see. Number 9. An iguana. How about an iguana? Could you fight an iguana? And my last one. Number 10, gentlemen. This one. The water is waist high in the octagon. You're fighting a squid.
Oh.
How will you do against a squid? I'll be honest, I was originally just going to do on how well you like them, but I thought it'd be more fun if you were fighting it. I mean, so I had another
that
surprise.
Definitely would have changed the order of my list here, that's for sure.
We'll have to see. So what we're going to do, you did not cross something out.
I had to, bro.
You did not cross something out.
Well, no, I started writing it, and then I thought about it.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to go all in order from 10 up to 1 and list what we have. All right, you can kick us off, Jaden.
I'm starting at 10. I got the silverback. 9, I got the lion. 8, I got the cheetah. 7, I got the moose. 6, I have the squid. 5, I have the iguana. 4, I have a butterfly. 3, I have a snapping turtle. 2, I have a crocodile. And at 1, I have the Amazon rainforest frog.
Alrighty. That's crazy. Okay. Walker, you can go next.
Alright, I agree. First one, number 10, silverback gorilla. I mean, what are you going to do against the silverback gorilla?
Nothing.
I got 9, crocodile. All right. I don't have Jay and I'm at 2, but
I can explain that in a minute.
Moose, I had a little high. I'm at 8. I thought it was going to be higher up there. They're going to name a little bit softer animals. Other than that, I had cheetah at 7. Lion at 6, which I won. I have a moose, obviously.
You had moose at, what, 8?
Yeah.
I like that.
He thinks he could be a lion over a moose. I'm joking.
5, snapping turtle. 4, squid. 3, iguana. 2, frog. 1, butterfly.
Okay. You saved pick number 1 for last.
Or, I knew it was
not for last. Somewhere.
So, 10, I have butterfly. I morally cannot kill a butterfly.
This dude is confident.
9, I have lion. 8, I have silverback. 7, I have moose. 6, squid. 5, iguana. 4, cheetah. I don't know what happened there. I don't want to talk about it. 3, crocodile. 2, snapper. 1, frog.
Yeah. I like it.
All right. I like it. So, real quick, I just want to explain my crocodile at 2, because that came across pretty early. Don't people wrestle crocodiles? Like, isn't crocodile wrestling like a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to wrestle the crocodile, and I'm going to get the, what do you call that, submission on him?
Yeah.
I'm going to submit the crocodile.
Yeah, good luck.
So I put him at 2.
So he grabs your arm and just rips you around. And
how do you do that? I got him early.
Don't they, like, tape their mouths closed when they wrestle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His mouth ain't closed.
I'll smack his mouth closed, dude. You ever seen those videos where they smack the crocodile on the head?
Yeah.
They close their mouths?
I actually have seen that.
I gotta throw that in there. I was gonna put snapping turtle at 1, but then I thought maybe it's a not like a Coon Lake snapping turtle. Maybe it's like a bigger snapping turtle.
Buddy, you should see the Coon
so
Lake.
So I just figured with the snapping turtle.
Dangerous.
I just figured they're a little slower and like worst case, I kind of get behind him and can grab his shell and then throw him out of the ring. Game over.
Wraps.
That's there. Otherwise, moose. I think you guys are underestimating. Moose are pretty big.
Yeah, I had moose at 8.
8?
I had moose at...
What are you going to do against it, though?
Nothing. Get killed.
You could try to ride it.
I'm getting killed by my bottom 4.
Choke it out.
You think you're beating the squid?
Yeah. Probably.
What's the squid going
to do? Are we both in water?
Yeah, that's what I don't know about. What's the squid going to do?
It's going to wrap your little tentacles around you.
Cook them and eat them. What are they going to do against me?
When have you ate squid?
like one time.
Calamari? Hello.
That's octopus.
Oh, I don't eat seafood.
Yeah, I ate squid one time. It's like three and never again. Yeah.
Ugh.
Refuse now, so.
It just sounds gross.
Same thing with an iguana. What's an iguana going to
do? Bite your throat.
Run around.
So I can eat, you know?
Yeah. Run up to him and kick it.
Right? I was kind of scared about the cheetah. I wish I had the cheetah over the lion. I feel like sometimes lions are a little slow and lazy and nonchalant. The cheetah is just going to speed
around. Tyreek Hill running at you.
Terrifying. He's going to beat me like he beats his kid.
I feel like a lion will just, like, bite your arm, let you bleed out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like,
play with you, yeah.
Oh my gosh, I've seen the videos of them eating like the water buffalo, and it's like they've already ripped the skin off the face of the water buffalo.
Oh my gosh.
Gross.
It's a cold world. Well, actually, you know, we could just wrap this up. I do actually want to know, what do you guys think is the most dangerous animal that you guys could realistically beat in a fight?
Most dangerous animal I could realistically beat in a fight.
Like, realistically.
I would say kangaroo. I'd box that boy. Silly.
Yeah. I like that.
Could you be a wolf? Singular wolf.
No chance.
Nah.
Zero chance.
Wolves are a lot bigger than you think, I believe. Like, they're pretty big.
Yeah, yeah, they're huge.
So I don't think...
Be a coyote.
Yeah, be the Yodi. I think I could just kick a Yodi.
A deer.
Maybe do some damage there. I don't know about a deer. They're not very dangerous. Like a buck?
Oh,
I think those antlers are stabbing you, dude.
Hey, have you seen the video of the one buck where he like beat his opponent? He was carrying around like
his
opponent's
antler like skull thing.
Oh my gosh,
it gets vicious, dude. Imagine that coming at you.
It's just like 10 points right in the.
Oh my goodness! Well, blind ranks—they're fun. Yeah. We went over a bunch of animals.
That was fun.
But we have other business to attend to. This is the Surprise Chef podcast. And one thing we do here every week, it's a recurring thing, is we drop our official NFL Week 5 prediction. So, gentlemen, let's not waste any time. Let's get right on into it.